This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. And if you come to Acts chapter 11, I don't know if you've ever had the situation where you've been involved with a group of people and you've been believing a certain way, and then all of a sudden something happens in your life and things change. And then you have to go back and face that group of people who haven't changed, and they still got the same belief system that they had before when you're part of the group. Well, that's what Peter is facing as we're going to be looking at this today. What's he going to do? Is he going to stand for truth, or is he going to allow his former friends and acquaintances to influence him on their view of who we are to take the gospel to, how we're to interact with one another, and who really is important and should be important in our lives? Those are some questions that Peter's got to deal with as he's going back up to Jerusalem. Remember, he had been in Caesarea, which is along the coast. Jerusalem is up on a mountaintop, inland, about 30 or 40 miles inland from Caesarea. And so Peter is going back to Jerusalem to report to the other apostles and the Christians in Jerusalem about what's been going on. And there's been a lot of things happening along the coast, and we know that God had been moving in not only Caesarea, but also Joppa, and earlier than that in Gaza, and up in Samaria, through the gospel being preached and people getting saved. Let's begin at verse 1 of chapter 11. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to the men uncircumcised and didst eat with them? But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel coming, or for a certain vessel descend, rather, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eye, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. And I said, No, so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. Help us to not be desirous to please men, but rather to be desirous to please you and to do that which you have called us to do. And Lord, help us to be bold and to go in the power of your Spirit, even as Peter did. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin to open the message this afternoon, I'm sure that every one of you has at some point in your life had people that are either family or friends that have thought you're a little strange for something you've done, but yet you have felt that it's very right what you've done. And this is exactly what Peter's condition was. He's going back up to Jerusalem, and he's going up to talk not only to the apostles, but to the other Jews that had become Christians. And it says that they of the circumcision. Now, when he means of the circumcision, it means that they were Jewish. In other words, they were Jews that had been saved and gotten saved. They were Peter's acquaintances and friends, fellow believers, but yet they were Jewish. And many of them viewed that you had to be Jewish first before you could ever become a Christian. That was a common belief in the early church. We know that the Apostle Paul even struggled with this after it appeared to have been resolved, as we looked at in the text today, when Peter went back there, and that the early church resolved that issue for the appearance, but yet it rose its head again later on, where you had the Judaizers going after Paul saying, no, you have to be a Jew first in order before you can ever become a Christian, and you have to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. You have to obey the law before you can become a Christian. And they did all these things trying to discourage the Gentiles really from becoming Christians. And that's what Satan was attempting to do, that you have to do all these things when really we are saved by grace and grace alone. Well, this is what Peter was facing when he went back there. He was facing his former acquaintances and friends that he knew were very orthodox in their Jewish belief. And as he got there, he shares with them, and one of the things that they'd heard is that they'd heard that Peter had taken the gospel to Gentiles. And why would he do something like that? Wasn't the gospel for Jews? That's what Peter had thought, until God had showed him through the visions that he recounted to them that had occurred at Joppa, that what God says is unclean is unclean, but what God said is good is good. And what God said is that he should go, he should go. And he recounted the vision where he had where he had been hungry, awaiting his meal to be prepared, and he had the vision of all the food, the different animals and beasts and wild beasts dropping from heaven on this, on creeping things too, by the way, can't forget them, dropping from heaven on the sheep, and the Lord saying, slaughter, take, and eat. In other words, kill it, take, and eat it. And Peter had said, well, no, I can't do that. I don't eat anything, never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And then the Lord responded, what I have said is clean is clean. And no more than that vision had stopped than the Gentile men appeared at the door wanting to talk to him. It was really quite evident to Peter what God was trying to tell him. There was no man, if God was saying, take the gospel to them, take the gospel to them. God looked at all men as being created in His image. If you look at the scriptures, it doesn't differentiate between the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, being different from any other person in the world, and that all men have been created in the image of God. And having been created in the image of God, descendants of Adam and later descendants of Noah, they had the right to hear the gospel, and God had promised to the descendants of Adam and Noah that there would come a Messiah who would be able to redeem them from their sins. And we see that that's exactly what was happening the city of Caesarea, where we had the group of the centurion's friends and family that were gathered in his house that heard the gospel, and they were saved, they were filled with the Spirit, they were baptized into the body of Christ, and they were brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we see that he goes back, and this is the account that he gives to them. Well, their immediate response is, well, should we believe him or shouldn't we? And that's the response that anyone would have that would be against what you had done. But why did Peter do it? That's the first question. Why did Peter go to the Gentiles? It's because God had called them. A lot of times when you're faced with somebody who doesn't want to accept what you've done, it's because, especially if, for example, those of you who came out of unbelieving homes and you accepted Christ, the response oftentimes of the rest of the family is, well, you've gone crazy, you've become religious, and they don't want to acknowledge that Jesus, because to acknowledge that what you've done is correct means that they have to do the same thing or should do the same thing, correct? In other words, if they say, what you accepting the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's a wonderful thing, well, then why don't you accept Him? Because that's the next question. Why don't you accept Him? That's the real issue here, is that people, when they're unwilling to accept what is right, oftentimes it's because they don't want to hear what the messenger is saying, because they know that the message applies to them as well. And that's exactly what it was with Peter. When he comes back and he's talking to these people of the circumcision, and he tells them, no, the Lord showed me, if I say that it's not uncommon, that it's to be taken, you are to take it. And when I say to take the gospel to the Gentiles, I mean take the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, that means that if they acknowledge that Peter did what he did was right, they have to take the gospel to the Gentiles too. And they would have to be willing to accept the Gentiles into the church and into the body of Christ as well. And so this is something that they have to decide. Are they going to believe God, as Peter did, or are they going to follow their traditions and the pressures of the people around them in their culture that would say to do something else? Well, as we read the account here, we see that in verse 14, who shall tell thee words thereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? And then 15, and as I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as us at the beginning. And so Peter is saying that they asked about Jesus, they wanted to be saved, I shared with them the gospel, they accepted and received Christ, they repented of their sins, received Jesus as their Savior, and not only that, the Spirit of God fell on them. Now, who did Jesus say He was going to give His Spirit to? Before He left, He told His disciples, I'm going to send My Spirit to dwell in you and to be a comforter to you, and that His Spirit would rest upon them and be with them. When Jesus ascended into heaven, and it wasn't there long after that the Spirit fell on the apostles. And we saw that what happened in Jerusalem, where the Spirit fell and was evident that it was the Spirit of God that was upon these men as they began to preach throughout the city. And everybody heard in their own language the gospel of those Jews that had come from other countries. And they saw the power of the Spirit manifesting itself in the lives of the apostles and early disciples that were all Jewish. Now, as Peter shares with them, the same manifestation of the Spirit came upon the Gentiles in Caesarea when they received Jesus as their Messiah, accepted the gift of salvation, repented of their sins, and turned to Christ. God's Spirit came upon them. So, who was sealing them? Was it Peter? No, the answer is it was God. God had shown that His Holy Spirit was sealing the Gentile believers as well as the Jewish believers, and that they were one in Christ. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. In other words, my followers, the followers of John, they were baptized with water, but my followers, they shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so that confirmed once again, after he gave the words that Jesus had shared with them, to reconfirm what he had seen experientially and evidentially while he was in Caesarea, that in fact, these men were Christians. They'd been sealed by God. They were His followers because they'd been sealed by His Spirit. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as He did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Peter's telling them, I couldn't withstand God. I couldn't say, well, God. I'm Orthodox. I don't go into Gentiles' homes. I'm Orthodox. I don't eat with Gentiles. I'm Orthodox. I don't preach to Gentiles. I'm Orthodox. I don't believe that Gentiles can get saved. He's saying, who am I to say what God has done is wrong? Who am I to hang on to my beliefs when God has revealed to me something that is directly opposite of what I believe, and that is the truth? I am to walk in the truth, not in the teachings of men. And so he lays that before them. And really, when you have someone that you have, you've become a Christian, and you've got old friends that aren't Christians, and they don't want to hear what you say, really what it is they want to hang on to the old worldly ways, and they don't want to give their life to Christ, even though they may see something totally different in you. I can remember going to college and having people tell me that they could see a difference in the life of a Christian from the life of a non-believer, but yet these same guys that would say that didn't accept Christ as their Savior. And even had one of them tell me, well, the type of woman I want to marry is the type of woman that a Christian guy would want to marry. Well, why is that? Because she's wholesome, she'd be wholesome, she'd be pure, she'd be a believer in God. So that's the type of woman he wanted to marry, but he didn't want to change his lifestyle. He didn't want to accept Jesus to become a Christian himself. Well, why is that? Because of their own self-centered pride and arrogance and unwilling to repent and acknowledge they're a sinner before God, and the only way they can be saved is to come to Christ. And we see that what was going to be the response of these men? Well, these men were in Peter's page. They said, well, if God has showed it, who am I to stand against God? It doesn't matter if I'm all by myself, if I'm one person in the whole world, but God said, stand on this truth and do not depart from it. Who am I to depart from that truth? And basically what they said is the same thing. When they heard these things, they held their peace. In other words, they quit talking to Peter and trying to convince him what he'd done was wrong. They became silent. They didn't criticize him any longer. They held their peace. And instead, what came out of their mouth? They glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And they too saw what a blessing this is. You know, this morning we were talking about the battle that's going on in the world today between good and evil, and that Satan is in control of the wickedness of this world, and he's trying to establish his kingdom, and he comes against everything that Jesus stands for. And Jesus had said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you likewise. And one of the things that they saw is God can touch any man. We prayed for somebody that we all think would probably be impossible for the gospel to reach. But I want to tell you, God can touch people's hearts and change them. And we need to pray that God would open people's eyes, open people's hearts, and those that appear to be the most wicked, vile, evil people, that God would somehow open their eyes to the truth of God's Word, they repent of their sin, and come to Christ. Because they, like these Gentiles, the Jewish people looked at them and said, well, they're a hopeless cause. No, they weren't. God had sent Peter and later on he's going to make Paul the apostle to the Gentiles. And he's going to set up most of the early churches in what is today Turkey and Greece and that area of the world. The majority of the Christians there were Gentile believers. There were some Jewish, but most of them were Gentile. As Paul took the gospel to them. Today, throughout the world, the majority of the church would be considered Gentile because we're not descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but rather we're believers in Jesus. And we need to pray that God would likewise work in the hearts of those who appear to be lost causes. But God can convict. God can bring conviction people and open their desire to come to know Him. I remember reading about an evangelist who used to pray that God would sick the hound of heaven on those that he would preach to.
as he was preaching to unsaved people. And by the hound of heaven, he meant the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come and convict them so greatly of their sin that they see there was no hope outside of Christ. Because a lot of these people have placed their trust and the hope into the things of this world. They bought the lies of Satan. They think there's something special, but they're really not. In the eyes of God, if you're not a believer in Christ, you stand condemned to an eternal hell. And God is not a respecter of persons, neither when it comes to His judgment, nor to His salvation. He offers salvation to all, and judgment comes to all who don't believe. It doesn't matter your position and station in life, but we need to turn to Christ and Christ alone. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I thank You so much that Peter was able to show how that You're not a respecter of persons, and You've called us to take the gospel to everyone. And Lord, we're to share the gospel message with all those that we come in contact with. Lord, I pray that You would help us to realize the importance of sharing with those that some that we may think are lost causes. But Lord, You are the one that can convict men of sin, that can open their heart, open their eyes to their need of a Savior. Lord, help us to just be willing to do that and to be used by You as Peter was. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian, and it is